Pharisees and teachers of the law said to Jesus, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." And he answered, "A wicked generation asks for a sign, but none will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." They wanted a sign. They wanted wonder. And Jesus said, "I am the sign. My resurrection is the wonder. My gospel is the way, the truth, and the life." Look around today. People still want a sign. People still want wonder. People still want the truth and life. People want more than just another mass gathering under a tent, more than just hands lifted high, more than just another Sunday sermon. These may be signs of revival, but what is that? What is revival, and how do we find it?
You know, the most dangerous wrong turn is the one you refuse to admit that you made. A navigation system can reroute you only after it knows where you are. So spiritually, we often want God to lead us forward while refusing to admit where we have wandered. We hide behind, "I'm just being honest." We hide our pride behind, "I know what's best." We hide our bitterness behind, "I'm protecting myself." We hide our secret habits behind, "I can stop whenever I want." We conceal because we expect confession to lead to shame. And yet, Scripture shows us the complete opposite. Hiding traps us. Hiding, it makes it to where it grows, it festers. Honest confession opens the road to freedom. See, confession is not a dead end of shame. It is a U-turn towards freedom. And see, why does this matter now? See, what we hide doesn't stay in one corner of our life. It shapes how we pray, how we love, how we lead, how we parent, how we serve, how we respond to correction. And if we ignore the wrong turn, we travel further from the life that God wants us to have. I'll give you a story here. For a while, I lived in New York. I lived in New Jersey, but nobody wants to admit that. So I lived in New York, and so as I was living in this area, I was like, you know what? This is the opportunity. How many times am I going to be able to go? I'm going to go to Niagara Falls. I'm going to get on the road and head to Niagara Falls. And so I get on the road, and I start driving that way, and I know that at some point I made a wrong turn. At some point, I made a wrong turn. And the problem was that it took me a very, very long time to recognize I made a wrong turn. As I was driving along, the road, when you get into these rural areas in New York and upstate New York and other places, the exits seem to get further and further apart from one another. And there's not like how we have it here at the time. It's been almost 30 years since this happened. But at the time, the signs didn't say this is what was next. And when it did say the next exits, it did not say Niagara Falls. It didn't even say this is the direction of Niagara Falls. It just kept giving me off-the-wall names of cities that I'd never heard of. And I just said, I got to keep going. And at one point, I let pride continue to guide me rather than me knowing I needed to get off and stop at a gas station. There was no GPS at the time, or at least affordable GPS. There wasn't any of those things. I got off the road, and the guy told me, "You drove 57 miles past the exit you should have took to go north." So here's the thing. 57 miles in one direction, I had to go back 57 miles in order to get to the right turn. And see, at that point, I started driving back, and I got, is it even worth finishing this drive? Is it even worth it? I got to the point where I just started feeling angry with myself. I started getting upset. And see, here's the thing. I was traveling further and further away from where I wanted to go, and that's the same thing most of us are doing with God. We're traveling further and further away from where God wants us to go. We just keep going in the direction we want to go, and we keep traveling away from where he wants us. And see, the thing is, This is why revival is a personal, this is why revival is personal before it's public. So some of us have been traveling in the wrong way. Not all of us. Some of you guys, again, are perfect. You wandered in here, and in fact, you didn't wander in here. You glid across the floor. You hovered in, and you're just here to help coach me through my sermon later. You're just going to be like, Mike, this is where you did everything wrong, and here's how we're going to help fix it. But for the rest of us that are broken and hurting and struggling, that walked in here and that we weren't dragged in here, some of you were dragged in. There's heel marks out in the parking lot. You know, like you were dragged in. But see, the thing is that for some of us, before we can ever see true revival happen in a church, we need to have revival happen within us. Before it fills a church, the truth must enter our hearts. And see, that tension is exactly where we meet King Josiah. And he was repairing God's house when God's word exposes what the broken heart is in his nation, right? And see, a building project became a heart project. So 2 Kings 22, verses 1 and 2, it says, Josiah became king at 8 years old and did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, not turning aside to the left or the right. So here it is, at 26. So imagine you're an 8-year-old. Can you imagine your 8-year-old being a king? Could you imagine? I couldn't. I can't even imagine my 15-year-old being a king. Like he thinks he's king, but, you know, I don't know where he's at right now, but I'm sure that he might have heard that line. But here's the thing. Josiah, King Josiah, orders to repairs to the temple. And during the work, they find a book of the law. They find this book of the law, and what began as a building report becomes a book report. And then a heart report. So then you're going to go, and we're going to look at 2 Kings 22, verses 10 and 11. It says, they read from the book in the king's presence. And when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. He tore his robes. So when he heard, he tore, right? And see, there's this power in the text. Josiah heard the word and allowed it to confront him. He allowed it to confront him. And see, he didn't defend himself. This wasn't the previous generation's fault. He didn't blame. He didn't go, there's other nations that are worse than us. He didn't have delayed obedience. He goes, I will deal with this when life settles down. He didn't say any of those things. You know what he does? Is he goes, this is what I'm going to do. Here's how I'm going to stand before this. I will admit what happened. And he doesn't, you know, like, he doesn't debate the standard. He doesn't come out and go, surely God didn't mean it that strongly. Surely that's not what God meant. That's not what the scripture meant, right? You know, isn't there times that we read some things in scripture and we go, oh, God can't really mean that. He can't say that. He can't be, you know, he can't say those things. Or have you ever read a passage where it says, inside it says that Paul says that it makes him want to vomit or he felt sick to his stomach? By the way, that's swearing in the Bible at that point. Because when he's saying that, it's one of those things where you're going, so when you start to hear these things, you start to see it. Sometimes when we read the scripture, it actually means what we're reading. It actually means that. He tore his robes. It's an outward sign of an inward surrender. That's what that is. His heart became responsive. And see, confession begins when we stop managing our appearances and agree what God is really about and what he really wants for us. So 2 Kings 22, verses 18 and 19, it says, because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord, I have heard you, declares the Lord. See, God wasn't impressed by the religious image management. He wasn't impressed by that. God responded to humility. See, here's the thing. How many of us, we walk in and we walk into church and we go, I've got to be perfect. I've got to look perfect. I can't walk. Like, you know, sometimes I envy some of those people that, like, they're just like, I can. Like, I'm pretty good about wearing whatever I want to wear. I'll just throw it on and walk out the door. So sometimes my wife hates it. She's like, are you really going to go out like that? And I go, it's comfortable. Yep. Yep, I'm going out just like this. And she's like, you know, that doesn't match at all. And it matches me. It's good. And see, but the thing is that for a lot of us, there's some of us that we will take such time that we will go, I have to look absolutely just right before I go out. Or I have to put on, like, I know people that won't go to Walmart without putting makeup on. And it's like, okay, wait a minute here. You do understand what's walking around in Walmart, right? You know, like, like it's not that big of a deal if you don't walk in without makeup on. It's okay. You know, and see, the thing is that a lot of us, we're like, I've got to be absolutely perfect when I walk in the door. I've got to have everything together. And when you walk into here, you walked into a place that's full of sinners. In fact, I'm going to prove it to you. Like, I'm going to prove it to you right now. How many of you, and you got to help me out here, and I've done this before, and some of you just experienced this recently. How many of you have decided at one point or another, I'm going to steal a pen from the bank, or I'm just going to take a pen, or I just walked away with a pen? All right, keep that hand up. How many of you, is your driver's license actually have your right weight on it? You're like, you know, the balance of you, just go ahead and put the rest of your hand up. You lied about something. You lied about your weight. You lied about your age. You lied about something. So at this point, everybody in this room should have a hand up someplace. And if you don't, you should just put your hand up for the person next to you. Just be like, hey, you're in this with me. Like, there's no doubt about this. See, here's the thing is that when you look around the room, everybody's hands should be up. And the thing is that as your hands are up, just recognize you're in a place full of sinners. Nobody in here is perfect. Nobody hovered in here. Everybody in here has some sort of sin that's in their past, that's in their like that's in their background. Each one of us has struggled with something. It's not, nobody in here is perfect. We walk in here. We all have struggles. It's just different struggles. It's just different things. Some of us, it's a stolen pen. Some of us, it's a lie on our driver's license about our weight. Some of us, it's a lie about how many times we've turned 29. So many times, like how many, what is it? What is it? And some of us, it's deeper. Some of us, it's an addiction. Some of us, it's theft. Some of us, who knows what it is? But all of us have something in our past that we're looking at and we're going, I am here in the hospital for those that need healing from Jesus. That's where you're at right now. And see, the thing is, don't think that you walked in here, because I'll tell you right now, if something happened to you and you were started pumping blood out of your arm, like it was just gushing, you were just like, hey, I got to get to the hospital. Are you going to take the time and be like, well, I better make sure that I match, that I got some makeup on, that I got everything all together? Really? Because I don't think so, right? If it was just pumping blood and you're like, I got to get to the hospital right now, you're not thinking about anything else. You're like dialing 911. And if you're not, you're like, I got to get in the car. I got to get someplace. You're not thinking about how you look or anything else. You're like, I've got to go and say and share this. I need healing. Well, you're here because that same thing. You need healing. And I know that maybe you saw healing, or maybe you got it in the past, or maybe, but here's the thing. When we're going to walk out of here, we're going to need it again, because we're going to go commit some more sins as we walk out of the door. You may, oh, no, I'm perfect. Okay. You like to think you're perfect, but you're going to have some envy. You're going to have some jealousy. You're going to go out there and you're going to have some anger. You're going to say some things that you didn't quite mean to say. Or maybe you meant to say them and you were just like, God's going to forgive me. I know that sometimes it's like the running joke that like, God's already forgiven me for that, so I'll just do it anyway. Yeah, kind of. He does want us to change though. He does want us to have this period of going, hey, I need to make some changes in my life and stop doing that and move forward. In fact, he tells that to the woman at the well. He says, stop doing that and follow me. Stop sinning. Stop doing that. And see, for us, we need to start making some changes. See, God wasn't impressed by the religious image management. God's not impressed by how we present ourselves, because he already knows what's on our heart. And I'll just tell you right now, I'll just be perfectly, perfectly honest. There's nobody in here that you need to impress. There's nobody in here that you go, oh my God, they've got so much money that the one day they're gonna die and give it all to me. Nope, that person's not here. I've checked. I know. They're not. See, here's the thing. Stop worrying about what you look like when you walk in the door. You're here for healing. You're here to find Jesus. You're here to find this time where you're like, I'm going to move in this new direction and I'm going to do something. And see, his confession produced a change in direction. A lot of us need to start finding some confession. A lot of us need to start going through and going, I need to start changing how I respond and what I do. I need to stop thinking that everything is perfect and putting this perfect little show on and start truly confessing. See, most of us, last week I talked about a U-turn, or was it last week before? I don't know. In this series, I talked about return. And see, repentance is not feeling terrible while continuing in the same direction. So you can't go, God forgive me, and then continue sinning in the same way. It's turning because God has shown you a road home. See, that's what it is. You are trying to get off of the path, off of the road that you are on, because that road is leading to destruction. See, here's the thing, is that the road is broad and wide that leads to hell. That's the thing. The path. And see, what God's trying to do is get you off of the road and get you onto the path. And you're like, oh, no, I got to have the right shoes. I got to have the right shirt. I got to have the right thing. I got to present myself just right. And God just wants you to just give him your heart. That's all he wants. He just wants your heart. Not everything else, not all these other things, just your heart. And we're missing some of that. We're missing some of it. See, Jesus meets us at the U-turn. See, the good news is that not only it's not that sincere people can punish themselves enough to become clean. Right? We can be sincere and just continue punishing ourselves. The good news is that Jesus carried our sin and shame to the cross and rose again so that we could be forgiven and made new. That's what happened. See, Romans 5:8, it says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, you are still broken. You were still hurting. And still, in fact, I don't know if you remember on the cross where there's two thieves. The one continues to mock him. And even those that are assaulting him, it's like, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. See, and that's the thing. While we were still sinning, he died for us. In 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. See, confession doesn't earn forgiveness. It receives the forgiveness that Jesus purchased. And we do not confess to persuade a reluctant God to love. And we confess because the God who already loves us opened the way home. That's why we confess. See, confession is not a dead end of shame. It is a U-turn toward freedom. That's what it is. See, Josiah's response is inspiring. But what does turning towards God look like for us before this day is over? What does it look like for us? What do we have to do? What does it change? So James 5:16, it says, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so you may be healed. Confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. Now, here's the thing. You need to do this today. Today. Before you leave, during the time of response, name the sin plainly to God. Not my mistakes. Not my struggles. Don't say those things. Name what the sin is. Name what it is. Could be pride. Could be deceit. Could be lust. Could be bitterness. Could be greed. Could be rage. Could be gossip. Could be self-worship. Could be unforgiveness. Something else the Holy Spirit brings to mind. All you have to do is just pray and go, God, I confess, whatever that blank is, whatever it is. I chose my way over yours. Because of Jesus, forgive me, cleanse me, and change my direction. You don't have to go more than that. You don't have to do anything else. You don't have to do it. And then within a day, so tomorrow, before tomorrow, so by the end of the day, really, choose a mature, trustworthy Christian, pastor, somebody you pray with, and say, I need to tell you the truth about something and ask you to pray for me and help me take my next faithful step. See, choose someone safe and spiritually mature. You don't need your business out in the middle of the street. You don't need to be kicked around. You don't need it all those different places. Not a person who will exploit your vulnerability. Pastors and leaders should explain some confidentiality to you. They shouldn't just have, you know, like if you go and commit a crime and then go admit it to a pastor, they have to tell on you. So, and see, there's some limits. So don't just be like, hey, this is what I did. And then the main thing that you want to do today is you need to name the sin to God. You need to specifically say, this is what it is. And then to go out and tell a trusted believer. See, why does this matter? See, hidden sin grows in the darkness. It distorts our thinking. It divides relationships. It weakens our spiritual authority. It keeps performing instead of healing. And see, that's what most of us are doing. While we're hiding our sin, we're performing on the top of it. We're performing to hide it behind us. And that's what our lives tend to be, is this massive performance. And see, God's trying to get you to walk away from the performance and to come into his presence. To find to do that in the support of his people. See, that's the thing. We don't come to church just to hear this message. See, that's the problem. Too often we show up here, we get a message, and then we leave. We don't actually spend the time to actually invest into going, I need to build a relationship with somebody who will support me and help me walk through the sin that I've been carrying. Help me go through these things. We walk in here and we go, you know, like at AA, they have it right. You go to AA, the first thing they do is we got to get you a sponsor. We got to get you somebody that you can talk to help you get through this. But at the church, we're like, oh yeah, welcome in, come on in. Hey, we're gonna have you raise your hand, you're gonna ask for forgiveness, and then right back out to the wolves, buddy. There it is, right there. You're like, you got one in amongst the sheep. Look at that. See, and that's the thing, and that's what happens. We have people that are out there literally waiting to prey on us and they're not doing it intentionally oftentimes. They're not doing it like, hey, I have to go and take care. I'm going to go get Mike. I mean, they might do that intentionally. They're like, hey, we're going to go out and have a good time. We should invite Mike. Yeah, that's what happens right there. You go out there, and then all of a sudden that good time turns into, hey, we're doing these things. You're like, whoa, 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 I didn't sign up for this. And see, that's where we have this. We need to have people around us that we have a support system so that when something happens, we call them. We reach out to them. And see, church is not just a Sunday morning for an hour, hour and a half. Sometimes two, depending upon how much I want to talk. See, that's not what it is. That's not what it's about. See, that's what we've turned it into. We just go, I'm going to show up on Sunday. I'm going to get my pew miles, and I'm going to leave. And see, that's not what it's, see, this is a community, a body of believers that we need one another to help grow, to help support, to help be there for one another when something happens that we go, hey, I need your help, and not be afraid to ask for help. See, that's one of those things I have a problem with. I don't ask people for help. They're like, I got it. I can take care of it. And it doesn't matter whether it's a construction project or if it's something that's happening in my personal life. I go, no, I'll take care of it. I got it. I'll figure it out. I'll work through it. And see, that's how most of us are in this room. I'll work through it. And by the time that you get God involved, and by the time that you get somebody from the church or a support system involved, it's already so messy and so far gone. You're like, well, wait a minute. We got to go back through a whole bunch of that. You've already seen 57 miles of the wrong direction. Now let's go back. And we have to drive back through some of the mess or the wrong direction that we went through. And see, that's the problem. All we have to do is come in and go, I want to be transparent. I want to be honest. I want to be who I am. Instead of worrying about, man, them shoes. You get those. When I was a kid, the Kmart brand of shoe was McGregor. No. Yeah, somebody threw it at me. They're like, yeah. you suck. You know, if we had vegetables, we'd be throwing that at you. I mean, like, but see, that's the thing is that I had to wear McGregor's, and so what I would do is I would do whatever I could to thrash them as soon as possible so that my mom would have to buy them again. And she would just buy a worse pair of McGregor's. Like, and McGregor's are not great. They all you had to do was get them wet one time, the whole sole would fall off the bottom of them. But I went to a school that had a whole bunch of rich kids. We'll call them that, right? And everybody, they were wearing Guess jeans. They were wearing, by the way, Guess jeans were popular at that time. And so they were wearing those. I don't remember what shoes they were wearing. Jordans weren't that popular yet, but whatever it was, and we just couldn't afford it. And so what would end up happening is that I would look and I would go, I want to fit in. I want to look like them. And I would do things that would lead me more into trouble. I would just go and I'd be like, well, my mom can't afford to buy these shoes. I guess I'll steal them. Yes. You stole a pen. I stole something bigger. That's all. Don't get judgmental here, okay? You've all admitted to it. But see, here's the thing. You guys are here to support me. You'd be like, when you see me in the store, be like, that thief. You just point him out. You know? just follow me around. By the way, we're over the top about, we're like, we've sent our son back in to make sure that we're like, hey, you stole that. Go back in there and pay for it right now. You're like, what? Yeah, oh yeah, so there's nothing worse. Because they look at you like, you already got away with this. Why are you back? You know, like, because we had to pay for it. See, what could change if you stopped hiding? What could change? A marriage could begin healing. An addiction could lose secrecy. A leader could recover their integrity. A family pattern could end. A church could actually become honest enough for revival. See, that's the thing. This whole series, we're talking about revival, and yet we aren't doing the things necessarily within us to actually seek revival, to get it. Because we need to be clean. We need to be healed. We need to be ready for that. See, the Manchurian revival began when one elder confessed embezzlement. And another person confessed, and then the church prayed, and people returned. Some trusted Christ for the first time, and one honest U-turn helped make room for many others. That's what happened there. See, what we forget is that our confession may free more than just you. Your confession may actually help somebody else confess. Your personal repentance can be a spark of shared revival. Like when we have stuff going on, we can talk about it. We can share it. We can talk about these things. So here's what I want you to do. And so today, if you're a first-time guest here, we never do these things, and it might get a little weird for you. And so I apologize for that. But here's what I want you to do. Is I just want you to bow your head and sit quietly for a moment, right? And just ask yourself, and just Holy Spirit, what am I defending? What am I hiding? What am I delaying? What am I renaming? What I want to do is I want to ask our prayer team, I want to ask them to come forward. And so if you're part of our prayer team, then come on up here and I'm going to borrow you for a moment, maybe or two. And see, here's the thing. I want to go back, and I want to just go back to this statement here. I want to ask you, Holy Spirit, what am I defending? What am I hiding? What am I delaying? What am I renaming? So, I want to give you an opportunity. You don't have to come up and take it, but we know that confession with one another helps. We know that that's where you find healing. But what I want you to do, even if you're in your seat, I want you to, you can do this prayer, and I just want you to say, God, you already know me completely. and you still invite me home. I need to say, I confess, whatever that is, whatever that confession is, whatever you have, and I turn from my way and surrender to yours. Thank you that Jesus carried my sin and shame. Forgive me, cleanse me, and give me the courage to tell the truth and walk in freedom. See, for those of you that are beginning in faith, and I just want to have a whole different little prayer for you really quickly and just go, Jesus, I confess I have sinned and I need you. I believe you died for me and rose again. Forgive me, make me new, and lead my life. I declare that you are Lord. Amen. So here's the thing. Our worship team's going to play. And they're going to, but if you need prayer, if you need healing, if you need to confess, nobody up here is going to sensationalize. Nobody's going to make it bigger than what it is. We're just going to spend time in prayer with you. We're just going to seek forgiveness. We're going to seek healing. But, and we know that it's more than just sitting in the seats. And what I'm going to say, even after we finish, you know that we're doing baptisms at the end of this. And so, if you need confession before that, then, you know, like those are the things that we want to get you into. But we want you to be prepared. We want your heart to be prepared. You didn't come in here today to just sit in the seats. You didn't come in here just to be here just for a moment, you came here today because you had a divine appointment with God. God said, I want you here today for whatever this is, to confess this, to give up this deal, to give up whatever you have going on, to whatever struggle that you've been holding on to confess that and to start moving on the path that he has set out for you. Don't be afraid of what people around you think. They're all thieves and liars. They've already proven that. All you're doing is coming up now and saying, I need forgiveness. I need healing, and I need a new direction to move. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you for this opportunity to confess, to unburden, to be able to walk out instead of being on the road that leads in this direction, that leads further and further and further away from you, that you offer us a chance to get onto the path that leads directly to the gate that you are holding open for us. Father, help us to pursue that gate. Help us to find strength to confess, whether we do it in front, whether we do it in our seat, whether we do it in the back of the room. Let's help us to find it to where before we leave today that we confess what's been holding us back. And then we share with somebody, a trusted person, that we can go, this is where my struggle has been. This is where I've been dealing at. Please help me grow through this. Please help me get to the next level. Please help me stay on the path towards the gate that leads to heaven. Father, thank you for this moment, this divine appointment that you have made for each one of us. That some of us that we've walked in and we haven't had the largest spiritual background, and we haven't had anything, but we know that we hurt. We know that we're struggling, and we want healing from it. Father, thank you. Thank you for today. It's in your Son, Jesus' name, that we pray. And each one of us said, amen, amen.